Turn with me here this morning in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, the very first book of the New Testament, and I am going to start reading the first verse in chapter 15. Matthew 15, verse number 1, that's where we'll start, and I'm going to read the first 14 verses of that chapter. And I hear pages turning, and if you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. And let's see what God's Word has for us here today. Again, I'm back to reading out of my NIV translation, and God's Word says this. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God,' he is not to honor his father with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.'" Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both fall into a pit." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, as all your scripture is, it's used for teaching, rebuking, encouraging, and training for the man in righteousness, the woman in righteousness. We want to learn from this scripture here today, Lord. How does that apply to us? What do we do with this? Father, I pray that the words that I'm about to speak and the meditation of my heart will be pleasing to you, that I will speak the truth to this congregation here before me today. I hide behind the cross, not only today, but for this entire sermon series. And I pray that it will be enlightening to all of us, that we will learn something new about your scriptures. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Today we begin a sermon series on Catholicism. I'll be honest with you, this series has been on my heart probably since the day that I walked into this church. But I had to wait for the appropriate time to speak this. It is not my intentions in this series to condemn or to insult anyone who is part of the Catholic religion. My intentions in this series are to provide you with Roman Catholic doctrine and theology and compare that with sound Bible teaching. I am convinced that there is nothing more loving than the truth. So what I say today and over the next several weeks, I say in love to all who may hear these messages. Jesus says this in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. "If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So why do I feel that it is important to have a sermon series on Catholicism? I'm going to give you four quick reasons here this morning. 16% of the world's population, that is 1.2 billion people, are part of Catholicism, part of this religious system. Reason number two, you probably know someone who is a Catholic or many Catholics, and you want to know more about their beliefs. Reason number three, I used to be a Catholic for the first 40 years of my life, and I want to share with you what I know about Catholicism from my own personal point of view. And reason number four, someone within this congregation sent me a note concerning this topic, and I want to address their concerns in this series. So those are four reasons. There's probably many, many more. So let me start with this. As most of you already know, that I was brought up in a strict Catholic family in the suburbs of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I attended a Catholic school, grades 1 through 8. I went to a Catholic church, St. Wendelin's. All of my relatives on both sides, my mother's side, my father's side of the family, they were all Catholic. All of my classmates were Catholic. All of my teachers were Catholic. And most of my neighborhood friends were Catholic. And because I was born into this religion, I didn't know any different. And that makes people like me develop a Catholic attitude. Let's look at some points about this Catholic attitude. First, a disclaimer. Not all Catholics have this attitude. But most of the ones that I know and have known over the years, they do have this attitude, especially the family that I grew up in. And I certainly had this attitude for the first 40 years of my life. So let's go to our first fill in the blank and let's learn something about this Catholic attitude. Fill in the blank number one in your bulletins would say this: to a Catholic, Catholicism is your worldview. Catholicism is your worldview. So, what is a worldview? Well, a worldview is your set of beliefs about the most important issues in your life. A worldview influences your thoughts, your feelings, your decisions, your opinions, and your actions. In other words, you have a Catholic attitude because you have a Catholic worldview. People who are deeply immersed into any type of belief system, be it a religious system or a non-religious system, will develop a worldview based on that belief system. Carl Sagan, who's a well-known astronomer and cosmologist and author, has a worldview based strictly on science. A true Christian will have a biblical worldview. A true Christian will look to God's world to influence their thoughts and their feelings and their decisions and opinions and actions. So let's ask the second question and fill in our second fill in the blank. What do Catholics base their worldview on? Fill in the blank number two. The Catholic worldview is based on a religious system. The Catholic worldview is based on a religious system. And that system consists of two things: Scripture and church tradition. It consists of rules and laws. It consists of do's and don'ts. It consists of seven sacraments. It consists of the Mass. It consists of a structured hierarchy. It consists of prescribed obligations. It consists of Catholic catechism. And most of all, and this is where I found myself, it consists of your loyalty to what you are. You are a Catholic. I think it is safe to say that most Catholics At least I was. They are extremely loyal to their religion of Catholicism. Remember, Catholicism becomes your worldview. It is at the heart of what you believe because of this. Because it is what you have only and always been taught. It's all you know. And the Catholic attitude for me personally began at an early age in what I was taught at the Catholic school by the nuns. I was taught that Catholicism was the only true religion and that everyone else was wrong, especially those Protestant kids who rode the yellow school bus. Don't speak to those kids when they ride past your school in those yellow Protestant public school buses. And because you are part of the only true religious system that develops your worldview and this attitude. What kind of attitude specifically? For me, and I think I speak for many Catholics, was an attitude of superiority, and it was an attitude of being special in some way. After all, you are part of the original religious system founded on the rock of Saint Peter himself, who Jesus gave the keys to the kingdom. You are part of a worldwide religious system that has a pope sitting in the Vatican, a successor of Saint Peter, leading you and every other Catholic as God on earth. And that will certainly give you an attitude. Other religions are not that fortunate. You have a system of hierarchy of priests and monsignors and bishops, and archbishops, and cardinals, who are all men called by God himself for the specific purpose of leading and guiding you in the ways of Catholicism. You are not an island. You have a wonderful and structured support system. And every one of these teachers, from these cardinals to the bishops to the priests to all the way to the nuns, everyone believes and teaches the exact same doctrine. It never deviates and it never changes. And you have a family and you have friends and you have relatives who are all brought up in this exact same way with this exact same teaching. So when you're all together, you know that you're always in good company with like-minded people. So with all this rich history, with all this blessing from God, with all this power and authority sitting over there in the Vatican, with all this support that you have from the church, and with all this consistent teaching, as a Catholic, you are convinced that you are part of the only true religious system on the face of this earth. And knowing that gave me an attitude, but an attitude, one that I believed was right and pure and true. Many years ago, well, actually four years ago, back in 2011, I gave a sermon series on evangelism, how believers, people like you and I, need to share Christ with a fallen world. And one thing that I said in that series was this: a person will never be encouraged to look at your belief system or at any other belief system until their own belief system or their own worldview has discouraged them or failed them in some way. Can a Catholic belief system discourage or fail the Catholic, there are a few things you dare not do when you have been born and raised in Catholicism. Four things. Number one, you dare not question it. Number two, you dare not challenge it. Number three, you dare not deviate from it. And number four, you dare not step out of it. Even if you might think that it has failed you, you remain in it and you look the other way. And the majorities of Catholics, at least the ones that I know, will never question it. They will never challenge it. They will never deviate from it, nor will they ever step out of it. Why? Why? Because you are told you cannot. You cannot do these things. You can't question it. You can't challenge it. You can't deviate from it. You can't step out of it. So you remain loyal into trusting their teaching and their guidance. I'm going to give you three personal instances of this hardcore teaching that kind of sticks with you. First one, as a Catholic, I was taught that I could never enter a Protestant church and participate in a Protestant service. If I did, that would be a mortal sin for me, which has the potential of sending me to hell when I die. Number two, as a Catholic, I was told and taught that I must marry a good Catholic girl, and I must get married in the Catholic Church. I married a great girl. She wasn't Catholic. Nor did I get married in the Catholic Church. But I will say this. In our dating days, that caused a lot of friction. Because that was what I had to do. How was I going to explain to my parents that I was marrying a Protestant? There's another whole sermon about that whole situation. And we ended up getting married in a Protestant church. But you're told you don't do that. And I always questioned my mother, where am I going to find a good Catholic girl? Yeah. One more example. Shortly after my mother's death in 2001, my father and I were having a rare discussion on eternity and things of that nature. And I could sense that the more we talked, the more frustrated he was becoming, until he finally blurted out, put up his hand like this, and he said this, "Mike, that is just what we have been taught. You have your way and I have mine." And the more I think about that statement, that is very much foundational in Catholicism. It's just what we have been taught. Now, if you haven't been listening up, listen to this next section. With all those years, I'm speaking about me personally, with all those years of Catholic school, all those years of Catholic church, all those years of Catholic teaching, I never knew God. I never knew Jesus Christ. I never knew the Holy Spirit. I knew of them, but I didn't know them. But what I did know, and what I did know very well, was a religious system. Back when I was 18 years old, you could have challenged me on anything Catholic catechism, and I would have had the right answer for you. So what happened to me? I ended up being one of those rebellious Catholics who questioned, challenged, deviated from, and finally stepped out of that religion. Why? I'll give you two simple and very general answers. Reason number one, because Catholicism failed me with its inconsistencies of its teachings and then the practices of those teachings. They just didn't add up. Reason number two, I believe there was always something inside of me that was always in search of the truth. And that was something I felt I never found in Catholicism. Jesus says this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened. That held true for me. Finding and then knowing the truth was like the heaviest weight, the heaviest burden that was ever lifted from my shoulders. As the Bible says, the truth had set me free. When you are ingrained in a religious system like I was, you can never see it for what it is until you come out of it and you look at it with a new set of eyes and from a different perspective. And because of that transformation that happened in me, I read this passage from Matthew 15 this morning for a particular reason. To me, now that I am out of that system, and I look at it from a different perspective and with a different set of eyes, I believe the religious system of Catholicism parallels that of the Pharisees. Let me give you three reasons. One is that when the Pharisees were challenged about their system, they never respond with the true word of God. Why? Because they didn't know the true word of God. They respond with rules and with laws and with their man-made tradition instead. And we find that in verse number 2. Second reason. Two is that the Pharisees were more concerned about their tradition than they were the word of God. And Jesus indicts them in verse number 6, Matthew 15, 6. And what does he call them? He calls them hypocrites. You hypocrites. And the third reason, and the saddest of all, and I think it's the reason that I believe that God has put me on the mission of being a pastor, is this. When the blind lead the blind, they both fall into a pit. You cannot lead anyone down the righteous path of salvation unless you know the way there yourself. And what does Jesus tell his disciples? Let them alone. They're blind guides. So, there's a little background information, some foundational information from my perspective about Catholicism. Most Catholics have a Catholic worldview, and many, if not most of them, have a Catholic attitude because of that worldview. They are certainly not bad people. They just have an attitude that believes, one, they are right, and two, they refuse to change. Don't question it. Don't challenge it. Don't deviate from it. And whatever you do, don't step out of it. What about us? Do Protestants have an attitude? Do Protestants have a worldview? I'll just say this. All true Christians must have a biblical worldview. All true Christians need to go solely to God's Word to influence our thoughts, our feelings, our decisions, our opinions, and our actions. And our attitude, if we have any at all, should be one of praise, one of thanks, and one of humility to God for what He has done in our lives. I am a Christian, not because of who I am, but because of what He has done. And not because of what I have done, but because of who He is. It's not about a system. It's about being born again. So there's a little foundation on Catholicism. Next week, we're going to talk about how Catholics look at sin and confession and forgiveness. I hope you come back again next week. Let's go to God in prayer.